This conference is being recorded.
Okay, we're all set.
Okay, I'm not quite seeing the email. I thought I sent an email saying what the agenda would be, but I think it was something like look at the labor thing and then pick up with like 3-3 or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I've got the email up.
Okay, so let's see. So what is the state of the labor? Oh, the first thing I wanted to talk about with labor was Henry suggested calling it labor unions, and I was proposing to call it labor markets.
Yeah, that's okay with me.
Okay.
Good change.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. And then had we already bought off on using Alicia's three, I guess we did. We had. Three sentences from the 72 platform.
I believe we agreed to do that on the last,
yeah.
Okay. We have this all in one place somewhere?
Pardon me?
Is this like in a draft now, assembled as a plank that we could be looking at it?
Yeah, the greatest hits draft on the wiki.
Okay.
Brian's been updating it as we go.
The labor one? 2-6
Right. So, okay, so we can change that to labor markets. And then was there anything else to talk about there? I guess we had already decided not to drop the occupational licensure. Or wait, was there a proposal to find better occupational licensure language? I think that's what it was, right? Henry had can you read that?
Yeah, I'm on the wrong email here.
Okay, or maybe it wasn't in what I sent out. But I can find it. It was from the, do you recall what year it was from?
Yeah, it was in quite a few years, I think. It was the 96 platform that I was actually working with.
Okay.
It said, we call for the abolition of government agencies that restrict entry into any profession. No consumer should be legally restrained from hiring unlicensed individuals.
Right, right. Yeah, I like that. I'm in favor of that.
And put that in the labor section?
Yeah, in the labor markets plank.
Well, I want to beat that. I think I have. I thought I had Henry's last.
Yeah, Bob, you had a problem because you said that the occupational licensure is more of a state issue, which I kind of agree with.
Right.
And Brian said it suggested putting it in anyway, and so I don't have a problem with that.
Right, and it was also the I don't think we have a lot of disagreement on this. I think the only disagreement from my side of things is the language, which I had in front of me. Find it here. I'm sending it out.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, so I see the language, Henry's email. Yeah. We call for the abolition of government agencies that restrict entry into any profession. No consumer should be legally restrained from hiring unlicensed individuals. Which is an abridgment of, the poverty and unemployment plank language.
I have it. Profession.
I mean, I would quibble over how they wrote it originally to say, I don't sweat so much whether there's agencies. I just don't like the rules the agencies have about restricting entry into the profession. But so we could always clean that up to try and, not be so much about abolish this, abolish that, but, phrase it positively, but.
Well, yeah, I guess where I'm coming from on this is that whatever we put in the greatest hits, we should assume will become the platform.
Yeah.
So, yes, we should put things, I'm OK okay with putting things in the greatest hits that I don't like the language of, but I like the thrust of. But my concern is if we have the second sentence, no consumer should be legally constrained from hiring unlicensed professionals. If I was a journalist and I was asking a candidate, I could say, I see. So tomorrow, if I want to become a brain surgeon, the consumer agrees to that, that's okay with you. Because it's the absolutism of that statement that I think there's a way to put that, make this point, and I think, ultimately, I might be okay with anyone being able to say they're a brain surgeon, but I'm not okay with it for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, my take on that is it's like helmet laws. Any brain that can't figure out whether it needs to buy a helmet or check the reputation of its brain surgeon probably doesn't, we're not going to be able to protect that brain anyway.
Well, except, of course, somebody can be unscrupulous and, show somebody diplomas and so on, and defraud them, and then cut their brain open, and then, then it becomes a tort under this kind of language, and I think that legal theory has to evolve between from where it is now before I'd be willingness to make such a statement that you just made.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that would be an outright, either a crime of fraud or I forget offhand whether is fraud never prosecuted as a criminal thing. I assume it is sometimes. Or often.
Oh yeah, sure it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't even have to be a tort. That's not like, I don't see that problems. I don't see that as equivalent to, the environmental pollution thing where I would agree that torts are not a really good answer.
Right. Yeah, in this grand scheme of things, I mean, if everyone feels pretty good about this, I will defer. This is certainly not like the right to arms plank call, that legalizes private nukes. So
right.
I have less of an objection to this, and I would hope that we can tighten it up in the remix, but I'm voicing my concern now.
Sure, yeah. I kind of, one thing I like about including this is that it makes it clear that this plank is not just about unions, and it will act as a placeholder for us to clean up the language, but we do have to worry about whether, if it went all the way through and left Denver this way. But I think I could definitely live with this because I'm okay with the idea as I mentioned, John Stossel, defends this kind of stuff on primetime TV. So it's I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some things that tomorrow I have no problem with letting unlicensed people, consumers using unlicensed people, but just there's some more sensitive areas that I do have a problem. But I'm curious what Alicia's take is on this.
I'm kind of on the fence about it. I kind of have some of Bob's concerns.
I didn't quite get that.
I'm on the fence. I share some of Bob's concerns.
On the fence?
Yeah, about this particular language. And while you guys were talking, it occurred to me, well, we also have laws about reckless endangerment, just driving a vehicle carelessly in a way that any reasonable person would think they're probably going to kill somebody doing it. There are criminal protections in those situations as well that I would think, surely doing brain surgery when you know good and well you're not qualified, is going to be able to be handled criminally. I'm trying to think if there's any other. Yeah, that language about the government agencies in the first one is not agencies necessarily. Well, I guess it is. I mean, the licensing that's required for certain professions. Got to be an agency to administer that, but I don't know. I'm on the fence and. I'm so tired, I will probably defer to the judgment of the rest of the group
Okay.
Sleep here.
Well, then, if Alicia's going to abstain, then I guess that's a 2-1 to just put it in and then see how much better we can improve it in the remix.
Without objection.
Okay. Okay, so that then puts us back to considering 3.3 and Henry's proposals for those. So let's see. The first one you listed was the important principle in foreign policy should be the elimination of intervention by the United States government in the affairs of other nations.
Right.
And let me take a look at what that is fitting into.
Yeah, and I would. Well, let me just comment. I think Brian, I think later on you object to this. I would, as a counter to your objection, if I'm remembering it correctly, the term "in the affairs" does give us some wiggle room for. I mean, "in the affairs" to me is a lot different than, you know, Venezuela assembling a nuclear bomb that they plan to send to Miami. If Venezuela was, assembling a nuclear bomb with the intention of attacking the United States, I don't think this sentence precludes a preventative action.
I can see the wiggle room there. We could always maybe try to add change affairs to internal affairs. Well, that might not fly, but I'm kind of on the fence on this one. It's clear that we're going to be pretty anti-interventionist in our language already.
Well, there isn't really too much in here already that's anti-interventionist. That's why I wanted to add it.
And I would say this, I think that adding this would, I think, increase the likelihood of passage.
Okay. I think it'll cut both ways. It'll probably create flush out perhaps a few more, liberventionist types, but they probably weren't going to be happy with whatever we're going to do anyway. But I could see why it would line up some more votes for us.
In terms of what other things we have that are anti-interventionist, we do have the sentence in 3.1, the U.S. should abandon its attempts to act as policeman for the world, addresses to some degree that topic.
Right. Yeah. Also the business about American people on American soil, that on American soil, I know sticks in the craw of people who call themselves pro-defense libertarians. But so it sounds like Bob is okay with that language.
For illustration, I would not be okay with it. I might not be okay with it if it didn't have the "in the affairs" clause.
If it what?
If it didn't have, if it didn't say "in the affairs," I might go the other way. But because that clause is in there, it allows for a little bit of wiggle room, which I think in a world as complex as this one, it's good to have some wiggle room.
Yeah, in fact, I suspect that affairs might almost be a diplomatic term of art because everyone talks about internal affairs of other nations.
Yeah, we took out the sentence with the part about the defending Americans on American soil, too, didn't we?
No,
that's still there.
I don't remember taking it out.
We did discuss it last week, but decided to leave it in.
I think we talked about it, and then we kind of recognized that that's a term of art that doesn't necessarily just mean, United
okay.
States, but it might also mean embassies, for example.
Oh, yeah, I think we...
Or the air over...
Right, of possibly improving the soil part of that language in the remix, but...
Yeah.
It's survival.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I've forgotten where we went with that.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember off easily how many of these calls we'd done so far. So maybe these recordings will come in handy at some point.
Very possible.
Okay, is there any objection to putting in this sentence about affairs?
No, and I think the artful thing about it is the wiggle room, like Bob said in that last phrase. For the different camps in the party, you know, you can look at a situation and say, well, this situation makes it an affair of the U.S. rather than an affair of another nation. So, you know, that's how that can be an interpretation in another direction under certain circumstances.
Okay. All right, so we will add that in. Let's see, did we say what spot it will go in? Would it be the second sentence?
His suggestion was as first sentence.
Oh, first sentence? Okay.
Yeah, I think it makes a nice introduction to the plank.
Okay. All right, that'll be the first sentence. Okay, the next one is a proposal for in the same plank. We condemn the use of force and especially the use of terrorism against the innocent, regardless of whether such acts are committed by governments or by political or revolutionary groups.
Yeah, and Brian, I'll comment. You had a problem with the word against, and I definitely agree with you. But I don't think that, well, hopefully we could fix, I would make the fix that you suggest in the remix.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if this became our platform, I would be comfortable with it. And I think Henry is spot on correct that it can't hurt to come out against terrorism.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it immunizes, if you add this in and the other one in, it shows that we're not this pacifist party. Or that
All it has us doing is condemning pacifists condemn things all the time.
I understand. I'm just saying the fact that we use the term terrorism doesn't make us sound like MoveOn.org.
Yeah. So the legislative record here. So Henry is saying that this doesn't rule out anything that might be thought to have collateral damage.
That's what I'm worried about with this one.
What do you mean by collateral damage?
Well, in modern warfare, it's pretty hard to do anything, including defend yourself against the modern army, in ways that you can guarantee yourself will never hurt any innocents. And so, so that's why I was worried about the intentionality of, are we saying we're condemning any use of force that happens to hurt innocents, or does it have to be intentionally aimed at the innocents?
Okay, and that's why the fix would be to change it to targeting the innocent instead of against the innocent.
Right.
Yeah.
We're against carpet bombing Dresden, but if our laser guided cruise missile, if one out of 100 of them sometimes go astray, does that mean we can't use them to defend the country?
Well, it seems to me that's kind of a stretch to interpret it that way, but I see where you could.
I can live with it. It's
yeah. If a candidate was again some order said, oh, your platform says that you're takes your interpretation of this, then the person can say, well, of course that doesn't collateral damage, and you just get out of it fairly reasonably.
Yeah. Okay, I don't object. Does anyone object then? Especially since we can so easily fix it in the remix.
Yeah. I won't object given the intent to fix and remix.
Okay. So let's put that in as, Henry, did you, what sentence, which
I was suggesting that it's the last sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. All right, let's go to your next one. Can you read it off?
Actually, before we leave this plank, there was also the issue of the free trade sentence. And we were looking for, well, first of all, whether we should have it, and we were looking for a home for it. And my suggestion was that would belong in this plank as well.
Oh, yeah, international affairs, right? Yeah, I like that. Can you remind us what was the language that we were talking about?
I'll have to go back and find it again.
So it's something that's not in the draft now, right? Or
we support the removal of government impediments to free trade, I believe.
Yeah, that was what I suggested. Yeah, we support the removal of government impediments to free trade.
Yeah, and I agree with whoever said that that doesn't strictly imply a zero tariff, zero tolerance for you know, minor tariffs.
Right.
I like that sentence better than the other one.
I thought this, you want this to go in the three section, not a two section?
Yes, because it does really apply to international trade, and if we put it in one of the, either the money and markets or the, I forget what we're calling 2.5 now, but I think the implication is that we're only talking about regulation of domestic trade.
Yeah, I agree. I like the idea of the protectionism and the international issues being.
All right. I don't feel strongly.
Okay, so let's see. So would that be the last sentence? Or?
I'm not sure where it would most appropriately fit.
It's kind of weird because all the rest of them are talking about defense issues.
Can you repeat that?
It's kind of a tough call for where to put it because the rest is talking about military defense, offense.
Well, of course, we used to have a sentence in there that said we recognize the right to unrestricted trade and travel. That's what we took out.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, how about if I find out where that sentence was, I can put it there. Or,
yeah, it followed the part about American soil.
Oh, right after the soil?
Okay. Yeah.
Any objection to that?
No.
Is that stick it in between? I'm looking at the new sentences we added here to see if it divides two things on the same subject now. It kind of puts, it's probably not terribly significant, the placement.
Yeah, I'll stick it in after soil, and then when we look at it all run together, if we want to rearrange it, we can easily do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at the halfway point. Henry, can you read your next thing?
Okay, this was in the immigration and naturalization plank, and I'd like to I wanted to say the terms and conditions of entry into the United States must be simple and clearly spelled out. Documenting the entry of individuals must be restricted to screening for criminal background and threats to public health and national security. And that would be in place of however, we support control over the entry into our country of foreign nationals who pose a threat to security, health, or property.
So let's see. Yeah, that first sentence just strikes me is. As an ask, request for clarity and stuff is not doing as much as most of our other sentences, and not getting as much work done. It's a kind of a lazy sentence. and then the second one, I'm trying to scan it to see how what is its difference from the existing language says security, health, and property, and then this one says health and security. criminal background.
And criminal background. It also includes, I mean, the first words of the sentence are talking about documenting the entry of individuals versus just control over the entry. Documenting and is a little bit different angle on it.
That's true. It's strictly speaking, it's talking about just tracking who comes in without necessarily stopping them. And it, whereas the first one talks as if there are conditions to entry, but and I guess the conjunction of them suggests that the second sentence is laying out conditions of entry.
Right. Yeah, this is taken from our newest platform. This is actually language that was crafted by the Portland committee.
Right.
We won't hold that against it.
Yeah, I guess my concern was that the last sentence, as it stands, could be interpreted pretty broadly in terms of the emphasis is on we're going to control who comes into the country, whereas saying it this way more it says more like we're going to let anybody in as long as they don't pose a threat.
Oh, you mean just in terms of changing, like, what's the default?
Yeah, what's the, right.
The default decision.
The default decision, I think, is more clearly spelled out as being, you know, let the person in, rather than the other sentence, which implies to me that the default decision might be to keep the person out. Although it doesn't really say that, but...
No, it's a slight... but I see your point. It's a slight shift in emphasis.
Right. The emphasis as it stands is on the control.
Right.
Rather than on the entry.
I think that's okay as a contrast to the first part of the plank, though. Because, you know, the first part is talking about you shouldn't be unreasonably constrained.
Yeah.
You know, to get away from tyranny in your home country. And then, however, you know, it provides us up. We got to defend ourselves.
Yeah, I like how that economic freedom demands, you know, states a principle, and then this lays down an exception to it. I don't see the proposal as either helping or hurting in terms of embarrassment or approvability in Denver. So, given that, I would just default to like whatever's shorter, and I think the existing language is a little shorter.
Oh, it is shorter.
But if
it was up to me, I would use the second sentence in what Henry's proposing to, because just for the matter of emphasis. But I don't feel strongly about it.
Yeah, I object more to that first sentence. Just as a sentence that is not getting a lot of work done.
No, it doesn't add anything. That's why I say second.
But could we say however, and then say documenting the entry of individuals? Well,
you need the transition.
Yeah, maybe we don't need the transition. Yeah, actually, because we say must, and so that doesn't make any sense. However, must.
My part, I think the existing language gets the job done a little more.
Yeah, I think we could. I hear the point about, you know, emphasizing what the default is, and even like even with the previous sentence, I could see some remix language that would potentially make it clearer that the default is unrestricted. But at this point, I would lean against changing this for the baseline.
All right, I'll withdraw that suggestion if that seems to be the consensus. And perhaps we could take a look at it again when we're looking at the remix.
Well, it's not the consensus. I prefer Henry's language, but I don't feel strongly about it.
No, you prefer the second, or you like the second sentence, but...
I like the second sentence of what Henry's proposing over the existing greatest hits.
Oh, you're saying just use the second sentence and not the first sentence at all?
Right, I think that's what he's saying. That would be that one would put me much more on the fence. Except then, without the terms and conditions part of the previous sentence, well, I guess the word unrestricted, you know, again sets up the idea that this documenting sentence has to do with what are the conditions. But I still just like the shorter version.
My preference is still for the existing current language.
Say that again.
My preference is leaving it as is.
Okay, yeah, I agree with Alicia. Is what do we do if it's 2-2 for the second sentence?
We could just email Guy.
the second sentence, if I just counted it correctly, is 21 words, and the existing baseline draft is 22 words, although the number of letters is probably more.
Let's not get down to that level.
What about punctuation? Do we count?
Yeah, what about the part about criminal background? If you did your time, you know, in Mexico or wherever, Canada, are we going to hold that against you in trying to come to America?
Even if I thought about that actually, even if the somebody did their time, I don't have a problem with the state knowing that.
Yeah, documenting it is okay.
Yeah.
Then again, posing a threat, I'm always against prior restraint. So we're kind of vague on how we decide what's a threat, but surely there are some threats that can be discerned.
Okay, yeah, I guess in that light, I kind of prefer the existing sentence because it does make clear that all we're screening for are threats, not necessarily criminal background, which could be, you know, somebody's busted for marijuana possession or something.
Either one could probably should be tweaked in the remix.
Yeah.
Both of them only help us in passage in the convention, so we can't lose in that thing.
Okay, well, how about if we just not do anything now, but, you know, maybe ask Guy if he wants to weigh in and decide it for us, and certainly we can look at cleaning this up in the remix.
I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with asking Guy. If we were applying parliamentary procedure here, technically a motion that is a tie fails to achieve majority, and so the amendment would fail if we resorted to that. But I'm fine with getting Guy's input.
Okay.
That's okay with me.
Tie goes to the runner or something like that. Okay. Can you read your next one, Henry?
Yeah, I wanted to add a sentence at the end of this plank that says, repeal all measures that punish employers for hiring undocumented workers. As an employer myself, I feel like that's important, that I shouldn't be the one who does the screening, and I shouldn't be held responsible for somebody who has good fake documents.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So then what would be the enforcement mechanism? Just the government would just, that's their problem.
Yeah, that's their problem. And they should keep enforce the borders properly. And if they do, then there aren't any undocumented workers, I mean, at least theoretically.
One of the big objections to that language is going to be that it gives illegal immigrants who bypass a lot of the systems an advantage over those of us who are legally working legitimately and being taxed for it. And you know, as an employer myself, obviously I want to pay as few taxes as possible, but it then creates a an unfairness for legal workers.
Not really, because these people have their taxes withheld and yet never get any benefits from them, particularly the FICA taxes.
Yeah, there's undocumented workers, that could be off the books completely.
Well, that's I think a different situation.
I would not want to include this one because of the word all. I do hear what you're saying, Henry, and I have no problem with a candidate articulating this, but I think this is the kind of issue that cuts very negatively. It cuts at the rule of law, even though I hear what you're saying, that if a employer knowingly hires somebody who is not here, has bypassed the threats, the screening to determine whether they're a threat to public health and national security, and an employer knowingly hires that person, I might be okay with some measure being taken against that employer.
Yeah, that's true. The all really kind of sinks it for me as well. I definitely don't like the idea of putting, undue burden on the employer. Also, there's the point about, are they going to only ask for ID from brown-skinned people? Or, if I never understand how people who want to document the foreigners. Doesn't that mean documenting everybody? Because otherwise the foreigner can just say, oh, I'm an American, and then, you take their word for it? No, you got to document everybody.
Of course, yeah. Which ultimately leads to a national ID card.
Right. But I agree with Bob's objection to the all, and that's why I would say fix it and put it in the remix, but the all... Is kind of fatal for me here.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on the situation that you have in mind. You're saying somebody who hires somebody who's an actual threat to national security should be punished, but how does he know that?
They know that someone is in the country illegally.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be doing that. They're in a sense they're an accomplice after the fact.
Well, but
they have to break laws to do that, and the rest of us can't do it.
I guess what I wonder though is how does the employer know that the worker is in the country illegally?
Sometimes they don't. A lot of times they do.
Yeah, to a certain extent, I see this as kind of an implementation detail. I would be more sympathetic. Well, I'm trying to figure out if we didn't say anything about this at all, would someone reading the platform think that we favor the current kind of regime of routinely holding employers liable for stuff that they couldn't have known about? Assuming is that actually the case right now? Is that if the forgeries are good enough, then the employer is still liable?
Yeah. Well, I guess there's a judge who issued an injunction to stop that from being enforced, but that was what they were attempting to do.
Yeah. I would if we just tweaked it to say knowingly, hiring, then I think it would have. Much better. It would work much better for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be willing to do that, but as long as we're restricted to existing language, that would have to be done in the remix. But I'd sure like to see it in here.
Technically, this sentence doesn't really address people with fake documents that are so good the employee can't tell. This says undocumented, which is off the books, no paperwork, cash. Tweaking your books to explain the absence of the cash.
Well, actually, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think you should be punished for you know, paying somebody cash, but that's a whole different issue, I guess.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't be just for illegal immigrants.
Right. You know, I'd point out that this sentence was added in Portland and got two-thirds approval even there. So it's something that's going to be popular with the convention.
I voted against it in Portland.
Did you?
Yeah.
Say that again, Alicia?
I voted against it in Portland.
Oh, the whole immigration plank?
No, this addition.
Oh, this particular. Oh, you have a good memory. I don't remember that that issue.
Yeah, this is a can of worms, and I think the platform should avoid cans of worms.
I think I would say, you know, if we get some good remix language in it, then that makes it even better than this already popular sentence, then it ought to just sail right through as we try to amend it. But I kind of agree that the all, and it does start tugging at threads and cans of worms and stuff that it to me it has the flavor of saying let's not enforce immigration law.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, it has that taste, even though technically it's not really saying that, but to me it strikes the same chord as the ones that say let's not enforce any tax laws.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I saw Ron Paul recently on some, I think, Fox News, and they had some tax protesters on, and they were trying to get him to say, you know, so you think this is okay, huh? You know, if everyone does this, then we won't have any taxes. And he had, you know, he spent like 20 minutes trying to explain his position.
Oh, and wow, I'd love to see that. Do you recall where?
It was Neil Cavuto was doing the interview.
Okay, I'll take a look at that.
And I just thought this was an example of, you know, he had stepped in it, and he needed, I mean, I understood what he was saying, but I suspect most people watching it, unless they were up on tax protests, would think this guy is kind of, you know, off, you know, a bit, you know, way out of the mainstream, let's put it that way.
Going back to what you said about not enforcing the law, it just seems to me that what this says is you enforce the law against the person who broke the law, not against a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I agree with you, Henry, and I think we could work together to make this point, and in the remix, in a way that I think would be both good for the, you know, likely to pass the convention, and not something that paints the LP into a corner that I don't think we want the platform to do.
Yeah, I think like our discussions here and all these areas of agreements that we're talking about in terms of national ID cards and paying people cash, and I bet if we put our heads to it, we could write a couple sentences that really hit the sweet spot of where we're agreeing and do a much better job of avoiding this vibe that some of us don't like about how it sounds like it's trying, even though it's not saying it. It just strikes me as, yeah. I guess I'm not familiar enough with current immigration enforcement to know, you know, what percent of. But my guess is that, you know, after they get across the border, it's pretty much only at the workplace that they bother trying to find them. But I don't know. I would say let's just fix this. Write something better than this for the remix.
Yeah, I don't see that this fills a hole that must be filled for remix, and I think the risk of this being the final language that's adopted, and you know it not getting modified in a remix, runs the risk of political ridicule of ridicule of this part of our platform.
Yeah, I think we, working with Henry, could say the things that he, you know, was telling us about what he likes about this, and say those things, and not say it in this way, and it would probably sail right through.
Well, I guess I'm outnumbered.
Yeah.
Henry, we're giving you as much as we can.
Okay, I appreciate it. So, yeah, my concern
though.
Is that we're deferring a lot of work to the remix, but that's just inevitable.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So
are we? Brian, are you noting places where we're not putting it in the baseline, but we do want to have some remix language like this?
I confess that I haven't been writing them down systematically. The ones that I care about, I definitely, you know, will bring up again, and I bet that Henry is can easily spot those holes that he cares about.
Okay, so it's up to the proponent to remind us in the remix.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. I haven't had any myself, so
I'm keeping notes for remix from the things that I've come up with. So.
Okay. Okay, let's see. We got 10 minutes left. The light at the end of the tunnel. Henry, let's talk about your next one.
Okay, I didn't have anything on 3.5. The only other one was in the representative government section. I did want to try and sneak something about secession back in. I'll have to find my...
Yeah, now, I accuse this of being individual secession, but I'm seeing it's just, say, political entities. Did you do a strategic deletion of the 2004 language about individuals?
Yeah, I strategically omitted that word about
That's
individuals
good.
For that reason.
Can we now comment on this?
Sure.
The word secession... is one that I will always object to being in a libertarian platform. Secession is the word that at least just use ridicule. There's certainly a section of the population who doesn't react like I react to the word secession, but I suspect that the vast majority of people do. They think secession equals slavery, and so if this said right to political self-determination, I might buy it, but the word secession is a non-starter.
Well, I did include a sentence at the end that was in the original that said, exercise of this right does not remove legal and moral obligations not to violate the rights of others.
Right. I respect that you added that, and I track with that, but again, the word secession, you know, anywhere, I would reject.
Yeah, I recognize that. I think there's a lot of people who totally agree with Bob. The plank voting, retention voting, has always seemed to reflect the idea that the secession planks are very unpopular, and I probably differ from the modal reformer in that. It's always gnawed at me. I've always been a big fan of the Constitution, and yet we had this huge war, and 500,000 Americans died, and a lot of that is traced to, you know, what people acknowledge as a flaw in the Constitution, in that it doesn't have provision for secession, and I like what the 72 platform language says about secession, so I don't quite have the visceral reaction to the word secession, but I would only support it as far as what the 72 language says, and I would definitely go no further than that.
What does it say in the 72?
I'll read it. It says, we support the right to secede where, and then it lists three conditions. One, secession is supported by a majority within the political union. Two, the majority does not attempt suppression of the dissenting minority. And three, the government of the new entity is at least as compatible with human freedom as that from which it seceded. To me, that's some of the smartest language in that or any of our platforms almost. It really, I think, very well summarizes how you would want a secession to be managed.
I'd still want the word to be self-determination.
Yeah, I would have no problem with finding a way not to use the actual word secession. And another reason why I like it is not only as a constitutionalist, but I think federalism. I think that that it's it basically markets in political governance. The best way to have freedom is to get different territories governed in different ways, and to show that the freest ones are the ones that work best. And so I'm a fan of that kind of thing, but I agree that anything that both uses the word secession and doesn't put in provisos about how you can't secede just to have slaves. I mean the extra language that Henry put in about Iowa can't secede in order to dodge paying for a navy or something. That's kind of that doesn't go far enough for me.
Okay, so you're saying you want to try and put this in the remix somehow?
Well, I've been the 72 language verbatim is fine with me, but almost everybody else who cares about this doesn't think that it passes the bar either. That any of these secession languages, I think it's. A pro-secession caucus is going to be a small one. Might be just you and me. And
okay. Well.
Well, and looking at the inside, and then on the outside, it just opens us up to ridicule. The 72 doesn't sound so bad, especially if the word secession was changed to self-determination. But it's. I mean, aside from these people. However many there are in Vermont, I just don't think this is an issue that anyone cares about.
Any
numbers. I mean, obviously, there are people, libertarians, who care about it, but it's a minority even among libertarians, I think.
Yeah. So, Alicia, do you similarly are not going to support anything that's got the word secession in it?
Yeah, I'm not in favor of a plank dealing with the topic. And given the unpopularity of this issue in retention votes historically, it very well could affect an omnibus adoption of the rest of it.
Yeah, and I'm sensitive to that concern as well. Well, it sounds like for now we can say that neither Henry's nor my language will make it into the baseline, but Henry and I, if we want to, could try to come up with something that in the remix that spins it, puts it in terms of self-determination and federalism or something, and maybe we can get you guys to buy off of it then.
I will promise to maintain an open mind on that.
If we have a core set of planks that we think stands a decent chance of being able to adopt it en masse, it doesn't prevent us from offering other individual planks, put them separately so that they don't hinder the rest of it.
That's totally true. The concept of the remix or whatever is separate recommendations, standalone recommendations after any up or down vote already happens. And yeah. Okay, so that means we've gotten to the end with one exception, which is we got 3 minutes to solve the question of abortion. I think we can do it with 1 minute to spare. Okay. Well, I don't know. So right now, I guess you'll notice that there's nothing in there about abortion. Is there enough interest in changing that? I'll say that the only language that I would, the only existing language I would support for the baseline is the 1972 language about the first 100 days of the pregnancy. Other than that, everything else to me is too extreme.
Well, and you have some pretty good remix language on that.
Yeah, that's where my hope about abortion is. So.
Yeah, I pretty much see the issue the same as you do, Brian, so I'm on the same page with you on that.
Okay, well then maybe...
Well, hold on, let's just... I do think that if we don't have something, well, let's think about this. In terms of the convention, if there's no mention of abortion, I suspect, depending on who shows up in Denver, that lowers our chances of passage of the omnibus.
Right, and that's my number one concern, is that if we propose an omnibus that drops abortion, then the only thing that people are going to talk about is, oh yeah, this is the proposal to drop abortion. You know, people have been trying that for who knows how long.
Right.
And oh, okay, you want this to be the convention where we finally do drop abortion.
Right.
And
somebody, that would not be an unreasonable position for somebody to take.
Even if we tell them we've got, you know, better language coming in a subsequent recommendation or whatever, given all the blood that I understand has been spilled over abortion issue, you know, for decades in the LP, I don't know. I totally agree that it would lower the chances of adoption, even though a lot of smart reformer types say that you know, it's a third rail issue that we should try to just be silent on, but I think silence is shouts in this case.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ruth Bennett, for instance, is going to go ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't find two-thirds on either side of the issue. I know Brian's talking about, you know, carving out something in the middle, but that puts us out of directional principles into medical details in the platform, which I don't think, you know, a political body is qualified to do. I think if people are going to tank the omnibus one because the lack of mention of that subject, I think if that's the concern, I think queuing something up as a separate vote, you know, remix style, would allay that concern, that criticism of it. Say, okay, we pull that out and it's coming up separately, so don't, you know, criticize this one yet because that's coming up later.
Alicia, how about if we did something where we pretty much kept a core sentence, you know, a core status quo sentence in the baseline, but then as a separate recommendation, you know, one of the standalone recommendations is have a recommendation for silence, just to see if silence on abortion could win a two-thirds, or even just a deletion of, well, that we would hate to delete that whole plank, but
well, procedurally, if you've just adopted an omnibus group that has it in there, what happens then if you propose to delete it? Because I know the retention votes last year, even planks that we voted to delete, they stayed in there because we had just adopted modifications to it. So.
Right. Right. I was wondering if. Well, I'm not even proposing deletion so much as a two-thirds style change that just removes the sentence. But what do you guys think of? Is there a possibility of something that's vague that says, like, I notice how it says adults free to choose their own sexual practices. If we said something like choose their own, you know, sexual and reproductive practices or something, is it just hopeless to think that there's some language that could make both sides say, well, it, you know, I can argue that it says what I want, and the other people can argue that it says what they want, and or is that just too muddled?
Well, I want to go back to the point that unfortunately I'm not hearing entirely all of what Alicia is saying, but if we in the omnibus process said, okay, we actually have two versions of a baseline here, one with abortion and one without. Why can't we do that?
Well, that's a good point. Well,
because then at least we're saying, look, we explain the process up front. We want to put this in based upon old languages that's been pre-approved, and then, you know, version 1A is without abortion, and version 1B is with, and then we're going to then revisit all of these plank by plank.
Yes, we can have a pending amendment where we basically present the baseline and it comes with some pending amendments that will get voted on, that have to be voted on before the whole baseline is voted on. And so one of those pending amendments could be to toggle whatever the state of abortion silence is. So it would be a toggle between silence and the status quo language. And then that would at least, subject the abortion question to a 51%, choice between silence and the status quo. And then the baseline would sink or swim based on what those 51% decided.
Yeah, the problem there is the disparity between the 51% needed or 50%+ needed to amend the proposal and the 2/3 then to adopt the ultimate proposal, because if the support for the plank is between the 50% and the 2/3, then you could tank the adoption of the entire thing.
Right, and I admit that what I just talked about would effectively guarantee that the status quo abortion language would be amended right into the, or would stay in the baseline, and that the omnibus vote would then be on a baseline that included the status quo abortion. So I don't expect that anyone would think otherwise, that anything else would happen if we tried that.
I think allowing 51% the chance to tank the 2/3 of those.
Maybe we can. Maybe we shouldn't even try to decide this here with only 4 people. Maybe if we just sort of. Is it the case that our options for the baseline are either? I guess our options are status quo language, silence, or maybe the 72 language that I like, but not too many other people seem enthusiastic about. So maybe what we should do is at a later juncture when there's more members of PLATCOM looking at this question, just, have some kind of a vote or decide it then as to which of those 3 options we choose for the baseline.
We could ask for input from the rest of the committee.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'm not – by the way, the 72 the 72 language I think it's pretty good. I'm kind of with you on that one. But, of course, ultimately, I would like to have the remix language.
Okay. Okay, so maybe we... So coming out of this, we'll just keep it as silence, but we'll just, at some point when we've got more of a critical mass looking at this, we'll have to make a final decision as to whether the baseline, if the baseline, becomes part of the platform committee's report, then clearly it's the whole group of us who should make that call.
Yeah, I would just from an optical perspective, I'm okay with that. What you suggest from an optical perspective, I think it would be helpful to have a little bracket or something in the plank, in the greatest hits baseline that just says abortion TBD or something, just so everyone knows, so Ruth Bennett doesn't say, see, they left it out there, look at that, right, it's right there, kind of thing. So that at least we're acknowledging that it's a issue that needs to be discussed.
Okay, yeah, I like that. So let's just talk about the idea of putting some text, some editorial text in brackets that says that there are 2 or maybe 3 choices here of abortion. One is that one core sentence of existing language, 2 is silence, and 3, I guess, would be the 72 language. Would that be okay with everybody, or would there be a problem with that?
I'm okay with that.
That's okay.
Okay, so since we're out of time, I can try to write something up and send it an email, and we'll see if we like how it's phrased, and that'll be it. So at that point, we're then we'll have a baseline DP draft. So what should we do with it at that point? Send it out to the committee?
Yeah, I think we should bring let the committee know.
Yeah, at that point, I think we need to put it out for the rest of the committee, get feedback, start getting their input. Question is, when do we want to post it and get public feedback? You know, do we wait till we have some remix language, or we might want to use input from other people for the remix? So,
that's a good question. We need to figure out should we try to get more people involved in our DP subcommittee to help out on the remix, or should we make some move where we sort of try and use the baseline as the basis to get the whole body to basically adopt the DP approach, and then get the whole committee working as in effect the DP committee?
I think the former is the better option, because my sense is a lot of people, the Bonnie, Scott, Bruce apparently, and the folks that are working on the other track, I forget what we're calling it.
The short-term agenda or whatever.
Yeah, they're not bought off on this. But if we publish this to the committee and say, here's what we've come up with so far, we are now going to write remix language, and you're invited to join the subcommittee. Just leave it at
that.
Yeah,
I like that. Also, perhaps even approaching people, one at a time, sort of off list, the people we think are most likely to sign up to the DP approach, and say, hey, we know you care about topic blah, would you care to suggest something for the remix or something? Because I suspect that once people start contributing text to an approach, it sucks them in.
It does.
Okay, well, maybe we can just discuss this further. I'll send out, I'll update the thing. I'll put in the brackets about abortion and the other changes we made today, and then. And then Alicia can take it from there in terms of, sending this out to the rest of the committee, and I kind of like what Bob was suggesting, but we don't have to decide that all right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Anything else for tonight?
I just wanted to let you know I'm going to be out of town next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So if we want to do another call, I probably won't be available any of those days.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not even sure, if more people, nobody else called in, but if more people tried to get in on the DP action, I'm wondering what a call of 6 or 7 people would be like, as opposed to, I think it works really well with 4, but who knows? When Alicia sends out the draft, things might happen, and I don't know if there will necessarily be a call next week, but we'll have to figure that out. Okay.
Probably what we would do is, take feedback that accumulates via email from those outside the committee, and then us maybe get together with teleconference. Okay, they suggested these things, and, hash out whether or not we want to adopt that. If they're not joining the committee to help us do it, then we hash it out and decide if we want to put it in our proposal.
Okay.
So we collect feedback, via email from the rest, so we don't try to attempt a conference call with 20-ish people.
Right. Okay, great. That's all for me.
This has been a wonderful experience.
Yeah,
it has.
I'm very optimistic. And we didn't solve abortion in 3 minutes, but...
We kind of did. I mean,
Well, that's true. We solved it for the purposes of declaring our baseline done. So
exactly.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.